Before we jump into our text today, I'd like to take just a moment and be quiet, for us to take 30 seconds or so and be silent and invite the Holy Spirit. Give him the first word today. Allow him to speak first before we look into the text. So let's be silent for just a few moments. Father, we do ask your presence to be overwhelming today. As we have said, blessed be your name. We have said, all to you we surrender. We give you everything. That you're a good, good Father. Lord, we recognize that. But we ask that in these next few minutes that you would weigh heavily upon our heart, that you would lead us to action today. This wouldn't be an intellectual time of thinking, but it would be a time of practical applications, boots on the ground Christianity, lessons from James. I pray this in your name. Amen. We are in James chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, please take them out, turn them there. Have you ever met a theologian? You ever met one of those guys? I can just tell you up front, they're strange. They're strange people. Have you ever considered yourself a theologian? Well, whether you know it or not, you are a theologian, I hope. Theos is the Greek word for God. Ology, you guys know this, the study of. So a theologian is one who studies God. It is my prayer and my hope that every one of us in this room are studiers of God. That makes you a theologian. Now, it may not be your profession or your vocation, but the study of God and his ways is something that we are to all be about. I didn't realize something until recently I read an article out of Facts and Trends. It is a magazine periodical that's put out that it has a lot of facts and trends in it. Check out what it said. It says that 14% of Americans cannot read. 14 out of 100 can't read. I had no idea. More than 1 out of 10 people can't read. That just surprises me. It's not just a societal issue, though, I'm afraid to tell you. It's an issue in the church as well. It's not so much that we can't read. We don't read. We don't read. Listen to these. This is good. Only 20% of Americans say they've read the entire Bible at least once. 2 out of 10 people. Only 22% say that systematically they read through a section of the Bible a little each day. 33% of Americans never read the Bible on their own. See, illiteracy, it's not just a societal issue, it's an issue in the church. And folks, if we are going to live by God's word, if we're going to be people of the word, which I've said this before, I pray that one of the thumbprints that I pray God will allow me to have in my ministry is that I have influenced people to be in God's word and to read and learn and study his word. And I tell you this because when we're not in it, it means we don't know it. Our children learn how to speak because they listen to you, mom and dad speak. And we need to learn God's voice, God's speak, the ancient holy words of God Almighty. We need to learn them. We need to read them. We need to know what God says. Lifeway, it's in this magazine as well. Lifeway, which is you've heard of the Lifeway bookstore. It's a big arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. They did a survey. Listen to some of these results. This survey is on how Americans view Christian theology, the study of God. This is how Americans view. Fewer than half, 47%, say the Bible is 100% accurate in all of its teachings. 51% say the Bible was written for each person to interpret as he or she chooses. 3 out of 4 people, 74%, disagree with the idea that even the smallest sin deserves eternal damnation. These next two are the ones I want us to pay attention to today. 3 out of 4 people, 77%, say people must contribute their own effort for personal salvation. I'm going to read it again. 3 out of 4 people, Americans, say that people must contribute their own effort for their personal salvation. 52% say good deeds, good works, help them earn a spot in heaven. Now, there are some of you in here that are already thinking of scripture verses that would speak to those statistics. And you only know those because you've been in scripture. Today, we're going to address a text that is of enormous theological consequence. It's huge in its proper understanding. We could at first glance read this passage and go, wait a minute, that is not what I've been told or taught. And as you'll see, we will go throughout the New Testament and we will see that this is right in line with what Jesus taught and what Paul taught as well. Because I don't want any of us, I say us, because I listen to people online as well. I listen to pastors online, and if we don't get into this and we simply listen to other pastors, but we never consume the nourishment from God's word, folks, we're listening to other men and women. We're listening to other people, and I pray that you will listen to God. Get into his word. Now, I'm not saying that these pastors aren't speaking the truth from God's word. They are. But I'm telling you, it's nothing like the real deal. Get into God's word. We all need to read our Bibles more. Amen? It wasn't as much gusto as I was hoping for. We all need to read our Bibles more. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. We're in James. Chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. Today's one of those days that, again, I want to make sure, as every time I stand in front of you, that I'm teaching God's word correctly. You know, if you look at today's text and you apply it to pastors, you apply it to those people who teach God's word, man, it is a weighty thing. Faith without works is dead. Listen. Teaching God's word and living something different, that's a weighty thing. So if I'm not careful and I don't apply this text accordingly and appropriately to my life, that's a weighty thing. I'm going to read verses 14 through 26. If you're able, would you please stand with me as I read God's holy word. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, God's word says, "What good is it? What good is it? My brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly dressed and lacking daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and filled,' without giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'Well, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Okay. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see, that faith was active along with his works. And faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God.'" You see, that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. And in the same way, was not Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Father, we ask this morning that you would, again, that you would be present, that you would speak today, that your Holy Spirit would impress upon our hearts, that today would be a day of self-evaluation. Today would be a day that we turn the camera lens to ourselves, not to others. Lord, we invite you to come and be a part of that self-evaluation. I pray this in your holy name. Amen. The word translated deeds in some of our English translations, the English Standard Version, which I'm reading, uses the word works. Is a critical word throughout this discussion, throughout this paragraph. It's a common Greek word to do something, an action, to accomplish something, to do work. It usually has some kind of religious significance. These works can be evil and bring upon us condemnation, or they can be good and bring God's commendation. I didn't come up with that. I read that. I thought I would say that. Turn with me real quick to John chapter 3. Because you see, today's text, you can look at it and at first glance think, well, Joel, is he saying that if I'm not doing works, then I'm not saved? I mean, you can go there very quickly. And the reason it is important that you and I are in God's word, check this out, that you're eating physical food as often as you're eating spiritual food. Try that on. How hungry would you be? The reason it's important that we are in God's word is because we need to consider the whole counsel of God's word when it comes to this text. Because you might think James is teaching something completely different than Paul, because Paul said we are saved by grace through faith. In this conversation that we're about to look at in John chapter 3, and Jesus is speaking with Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son to whosoever believes. So Joel, is James saying that something different from what Paul is saying? That I have to do works or I'm not saved? Is that what he's saying? We must consider the whole counsel of God's word. I don't believe James is teaching anything different from what Paul would say. I think they would stand side by side. Do you not think that James heard the words of the apostles and saw lives that were turned upside down when people placed their faith in Jesus? I mean, their lives were rocked when they placed their faith in Jesus. Guy comes in, John chapter 3. I guess I should turn there. Look in verse 19. Jesus speaking. This is right after John 3:16. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. And people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest what? His works are exposed. Folks, people see things in our lives. You know that? They watch me and they watch you. If there's people in your office building that know you're a Christian, guess what? They're watching. They're watching you. They want to see how you handle adversity, these trials of various kinds that James has taught. They want to watch and see. Oh, you call yourself a Christian. And they're observing. I want to compare what we just read to verse 21. Jesus goes on. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. See, James isn't saying that to be on the team, you have to have works. James is saying because you are on the teams, it will produce works. See, today is a day of self-evaluation for me and you about the fruit that you and I are producing. What is my life and your life producing? I want to draw attention, special attention in our text today to this idea, this word, works. James's audience, most of his audience, a large portion of his audience that was scattered in the dispersion when persecution broke out in Jerusalem, they scattered. Some of them were certainly converts out of Judaism into following Christ. Some of his audience may have been Gentiles as well, but a significant portion of them would have been converts from Judaism to Christianity. And this issue of works in Judaism is highly important. You got to do things. The festivals, you've got to go, you got to do prayer this many times. You had these religious activities. And over in the Old Testament, we can see those passages where God says, hey, I don't want any more bulls, man. I don't want any more calves. I don't want any more. Your festivals, that's nothing to me, man. I want your heart. I want you. This faith and works and how they go together is very complementary. They're not antagonistic. James has already brought up the issue already in his letter. We didn't cover it up here. He said, hey, look with me. Verse 22 of James chapter 1. Check it out. He's already brought up the issue. He's just bold-facing and underlining this issue in our text today. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. I mean, James has already brought it up, man. We're to be doers of the word. This faith that is in us should lead to action. It's not something you have to do in order to be on the team. It's because you are on the team, it's just a natural outcome. He says, can that faith save a person? I mean, he really is bringing into question this person that comes in and claims to have faith. He's making a claim. I have faith. Have you ever met somebody that says they believe in God, and you, in your mind, you don't say this out loud, I hope. They say, I believe in God, and you go, really? Really? You do? See, we notice fruit in people's lives. We notice it. And James goes on. I'm telling you, man, he's just laying it on the table as real as can be. Can that faith save someone? That little word, that, is an important word. There's a couple of our English translations that leave that word out, almost to say, make it sound like that faith is not important. But the word that refers back to what he just mentioned. That faith. Faith without deeds. Faith is critical. James and Paul would both agree on that. What James is contesting then is that the particular faith he has just mentioned can save. The faith is what a man who does not have works claims to have. People can claim all kinds of things. James' main point is that this faith is, in biblical terms, no faith at all. Wait a minute, Joel. Go easy here, man. Go easy. What are you trying to say? You trying to say that I don't have faith? I'm not trying to say that. James is saying that. Joel, my life doesn't produce any fruit. There's nothing about me that people could look at me and say, you're a Christian. In fact, Joel, I'm probably one of those people that if I told them I believed in God, they would go, really? You? This week, as I've been praying and preparing for this message, I think that this passage of Scripture will either terrify you or it will reassure you. Terrify you for a couple of reasons. Number one, maybe you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. You've never come to a place of admitting that you have sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short. You've never come to a place of realizing that God loved you so much that while you were still sinning, he sent his son Jesus to die for you and pay the price for your sins. You've never understood that. You've never realized that. Today, I need you to know that. You've never understood, you've never heard that the wages of your sin is death. The wages of my sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. God offers us a free gift. No one's ever told you, this passage may terrify you because no one has ever told you that if you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that you will be saved. And that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. No one's ever told you that. I'm telling you today. And you can call on him today. And realize that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Do you realize your punishment has been taken care of if you've placed your faith in Christ? But this passage may terrify you as well if you're someone that's here today and you would say, Joel, I have trusted. I've given my life to Jesus. But it has had no impact on the way I live. Joel, my life looks the same. And I know I'll walk through my day in my workplace and at home. My mouth still sounds the same as it used to. And on the inside, I'm going, I got to clean that up, man. That does not sound like the voice of God. There are things that I do at work. There are things that my neighborhood sees me doing. There's things that it looks more like the world than it looks like God. And I know I need to change them. But Joel, I'm sitting here today and you're talking about these works, that my faith in Christ should result in a life that is changed, that is different, that doesn't look like the world. And this text terrifies you. And today can be a day. In fact, I hope it is the day, if I just described you, that you allow God freedom to begin chiseling away at your life. Let him begin doing a work in you. James leaves no doubt in this passage that we read earlier. He leaves no doubt about his theme. Verse 17, faith by itself, if not accompanied by works, is dead. Verse 20, faith without deeds is useless. Verse 26, faith without deeds is dead. His point is this, that genuine biblical faith will inevitably be characterized by works, good works. Is this the works that Paul was referring to? For example, circumcision. Remember back, it's a very Jewish thing, man. Galatians was dealing with that, man. Hey, if you're going to be on the team, that's what we do. If you're going to be on the team, you got to do that. Religious behavior, religious activities. You got to pray this many times a day. And if you do, I'm sorry. And Paul was hard on those guys. He taught against that. Galatians. Come on. Y'all have your Bibles. Galatians chapter 4. Oof. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4. Sorry. It's like, no. Let each one test his own work. This is Paul speaking. Let each one test his own work. And then for his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Guys, listen. Paul understood that works were a part of it. This example that James brings up of two people that walk, or a person walks into their assembly and is poorly clothed. He gives us a little parable here. And someone says, hey man, I hope you're okay. I hope you do well. God bless you. Have a good one. What good is that? This last week I had the opportunity to go and be a part with a group of people from our church to deliver some furniture to another family in our area. The furniture was delivered. God bless you. It was well received. We got in the car. We were leaving. I get a phone call from this family. The husband says, Joel, I think somebody forgot $25 on our table. I don't think they forgot it. It's a heart of giving, of taking care of. It is this idea that James is referring to, man. It shows up in every part of our life. I mean, it's this giving attitude. This faith that we have in Jesus Christ, it results in just taking care of one another. Not just words of saying, man, I hope you're okay. It plays itself out. Look at this slide that wanted us all to see. One of the commentators I was reading, Douglas Moo, says this: failure to provide for an obvious need not only harms those who are in need, but also raises question about the spiritual state of the one who fails to act to relieve the physical need. The faith that you and I have in Christ should result in actions, not just religious duties, but taking care of people. Taking care of people. Romans 2, verses 6 through 8 says this: he will render to each one according to his, say it, works. To those who by patient and well-doing seek glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Again, James has brought this up. He has said we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. So your tip, first tip that I want to give you on your outline: works is not an added extra to our faith, but an essential expression of it. Works is not an added extra to our spiritual life, in the same way that breath is not an added extra to our physical life. It's part of being alive, is breathing. Works, good deeds, it's part of being spiritually alive. It's part of it. He goes on, James goes on in the following verses, 18 and following, and brings up an objection to this idea that faith and works are combined. He throws in Abraham. If you want me to prove it to you, he throws in Abraham. He throws in another example as well. He even says that demons know who God is. See, we can make claims all day long. Friends, as you and I are running our race that has been set before us that we saw in Hebrews a couple of months ago, as we're running this race, I pray that each of us would be living a life that is living a faith that is active. That we don't just sit on the bench and watch. You know, there's a lot of people that like to wear the jersey. Huh? Come on. Any fans in the room? Kyle, come on. Hey, on draft day, NFL teams don't draft players with an outlook, hey, this dude is going to do great on the bench. We want to hire this guy. We want to pay him multi-million dollar monopoly money kind of salary. And we're just going to ask him to sit on the bench and look good. Just look good, man. And never contribute out on the field. Never be a part of the action and getting out there and getting grass all over your uniform and making tackles, get there in a bad mood, all that. You know, we just want you to sit, man. Sit on the bench and look good. And James is saying, you didn't choose God, God chose you. Go look in John chapter 15. I chose you to produce fruit and fruit that would, anybody? Fruit that would last. See, listen, man, God has a plan for my life, he has a plan for your life, and it is not to sit on the bench and look good. It is to be active, man. God wants you and I to be living out his will for my life and your life. Hey, Ephesians chapter 2, you got it. Go ahead and turn there. Ephesians 2, I'm going to start in verse 8. It's a familiar passage. This is Paul speaking. Some people would say James and Paul, man, they're on different pages. I'm saying they're on the same page, standing right beside each other. Ephesians 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now check this out. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Say it. Good works. We have been made new for good works. Keep going in that verse. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk, man. That's telling us that we do it. We're active. We're in it every day. We're walking in our faith. He has set aside things for me to do and for you to do. He set it aside a long time ago with Joel's name on it. It doesn't have your name on it, Rhonda. It has my name on it, and he set it aside for me to do it. But not me, man. I'm going to sit on the bench, and I'm going to look good with my sweater vest on. You see where I'm coming from? James is saying, listen, that faith that you have in Jesus, I don't care if you claim it. I don't care what you claim. We ought to be able to see the fruit. Matthew chapter 7, turn there. This is Jesus talking. It's not just James, man. I love hearing those pages turn. I'm going to start in verse 15. Jesus talking. Sermon on the Mount. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruit. I'm going to say that one more time. Jesus' words. You will recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears fruit, but diseased trees bear bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. James is saying, man, that faith that you're claiming to have ought to be producing fruit. And if it ain't producing fruit, James is calling into question faith. Hey, hold on. Let's keep going with Jesus' words. Next verse, verse 21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does, the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Folks, listen. Today's text either terrifies you or it reassures you. And I pray that today is a day of God is alive in my life. He is active in my life. People can see the fruit of his presence in my life. Excuse me. Tip number 2 on your outline. And I've got to blow through these next 2 tips. By the way, in your life group, if you're in a life group, should make for interesting discussion this week. Don't miss your life group. If you're not plugged in, hey, check out on our website, our life groups, and let's get plugged in there. But Friday night, out in the foyer there, we sit around the tables and we don't beat around the bush. We get straight to it and we talk about it. Some of these are difficult things. If you don't have a place that you're plugged in, Friday night, 6:30, I'll see you right out there. This past Friday night, we all went to Village Inn and got a slice of pie afterward. It was a good time. So if for nothing else, come for the fellowship. Tip number two. Faith that does not work, James is saying, does not work. Does no good, verse 14. It's dead, verses 17 and 26. And it's useless, verse 20. I want to go ahead and get to the third tip. And I'll invite the praise team to make their way back up. Tip number three is this. God is pleased only when confessed faith leads to action. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. As I mentioned earlier, I pray that today is a day that we look at ourselves. It's so much easier and preferable for me to look at other people's lives, huh? Because I can see you ain't producing fruit. Huh, you must not be saved. And I can see, well, you got a little bit of fruit. Okay, all right. And you, oh, you're in trouble. Oh, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. Does that sound familiar? The Pharisees? Lord, I'm glad I'm not like the tax. It's so easy for us to look at other people's fruit. And today, here's my prayer, that each of us would turn the camera here. And let's do some self-fruit inspection. What is your life putting off? What is my life putting off? Can people see Jesus in you? Jesus didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and ask that as we close down today, we take just a moment to be silent with you, but our request is that you impress upon our heart that you be the last one to get a word in today, that you speak into our lives. So, Lord, now in this silence, we ask and invite you to speak. Father, as we finish our time together this morning and we do self-evaluation, we look into our own lives, into our own heart. And as James has already mentioned, that we would be doers of your word and not only hearers. Father, the evidence of our faith would play itself out in how we live and do. Lord, James even speaks to this issue of a religion that is pure and right, is taking care of widows and orphans. Lord, it is active. Our faith is active. So I pray that each person would evaluate today their activity. Not religious activity, but activity that is pleasing to you. That they would pursue righteousness every day. Lord, if there are things in our lives that need to be cleaned up in this moment, we would ask that you would point it out. Would you bring it to our attention? Would you not let us let it go? Would you compel us to action? That our lives would begin producing fruit, a bumper crop of fruit. Lord, I thank you for my family that's here. I thank you that you allow me to serve with a group of people that, from my perspective, are active people. But Lord, as I have read and talked with you about this text, you're not done with me either. Boy, have I got a lot of work to do. So Father, we invite you today to continue to mold and to shape each and every one of us. That I would speak less and do more. That I would listen more. Lord, when we walk out of this room today, we would all understand that we're entering your mission field where we're to be active. In here, we're asking you to be active, to shape and to mold. But when we walk out, that you use us in a mighty way to turn this city upside down. Not because we go and talk a lot about it, but Lord, our city sees people whose lives have been turned upside down by you. Help us to live it, Father, to live out this faith that we have in you. Father, for the person that's not here today, or that is here today, that has never trusted in you as Savior, in this moment, they can call on you and receive you as Lord. Receive you as their Savior. Confess their sin. Trust you. And invite you to come and take up residence in their soul. You can do that now. Father, for the person that's here today that was terrified by this, they have trusted you, and today you have brought it to their attention that they need to get it cleaned up. That they have some things in their own life that you have pointed out to them that doesn't look like you. That doesn't smell like you. Lord, give them courage today. Give them strength to put away those things that don't look like you. Lord, as we lift up our heart in song in just the next few moments, continue to do work in us, and we'll be thankful. In Jesus' name.